Good morning. We're continuing the story of Wendy Reese and the fantastic grace of God as you see the finger of God doing the work of God in the heart of the child of God. Listen with all your heart.
Looking back, it's hard for me to believe that I was able to survive that time in my life without the use of alcohol or drugs to numb the feelings that come with such activities. After all, a number of the girls I danced with were there to support their drug addiction. My addiction, and what kept me there for almost 2 years, was much more subtle. You see, although these men could look at me, they were not allowed to touch me. If they even tried, there were people assigned to take care of them and literally drag them out of the clubs. For the first time I can remember, I actually felt safe. While I was on stage, the men couldn't get to me. I was finally in control. It was a great feeling, and that addiction kept me there. I felt safer while I was dancing than I did in my own home. However, one day, God decided that I had run far enough away, and He chose to get my attention in a big way. I was preparing to go to the club one night when I began to experience a pain in my stomach that is even hard to describe. This pain got increasingly more intense over the next 20 minutes, to the point that I found myself praying to God. This was something I hadn't done in a long time. However, the pain continued to intensify. After another 20 minutes of pleading with God, I found my prayer starting to change. Instead of asking God to take away the pain, I asked that He just go ahead and take my life. After all, I knew that it would be better for everyone if I wasn't here anymore. When that prayer wasn't answered either, I did the only other thing I knew to do. I made a deal with God. After almost an hour of enduring this excruciating pain, I promised Him that if He would make the pain go away, I would never dance again. Within 60 seconds, the pain was gone. Although my dad hurt me in a lot of ways, he also taught me a great deal about the Bible, and I knew that a vow to God was not something to be taken lightly. So I have never again stepped on a stage to dance. Glory to God. I have learned over the years that God will do whatever He has to do in order to get our attention. Since that day when I gave up dancing and turned back to Him, He has never stopped pursuing a relationship with me. It's never based on my performance or how many rules I can keep. My relationship with my Heavenly Father is based solely on His grace and mercy toward me. I have learned to relate even better to Him after becoming a parent myself. You see, as much as I love my kids, God loves them even more. The greatest discovery is that He loves me like that as well. What is even more incredible to me is that He loved me just as much when I stood on a stage dancing as He does when I stand on a stage and I proclaim the wonders of His grace, mercy, healing, and forgiveness in my life. That is how God is with all of us. Even while my dad crossed the line that would forever alter the course of my life, God loved him and had already given up His son on the cross for my dad's sin. There is no sin too big for God to forgive. He knew before the foundation of the world everything you and I would ever do in our lifetime. And knowing this, He chose to sacrifice His son on a cross to prove His perfect love for us. As a parent, there is no one who I would be willing to give my son to be slaughtered for as Jesus was. Yet the Bible tells us in Isaiah 53:10 that even in our sin, it pleased the Father to crush him. This kind of love is completely overwhelming to me. I've never been loved like that by anyone else. It makes me want to tell the whole world how awesome my Heavenly Father is and that there is nothing I can do or not do to change His love for me. He doesn't reject me if I do something that grieves Him. He doesn't forsake me if I try to run from Him and start living for myself. No. The Bible assures us in Psalms 27:10 that though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Once I realized that being accepted and loved unconditionally by the Creator of the universe was the highest form of acceptance and love I could ever receive, it quickly put things into perspective for me. For years and years, I jumped through hoops and walked on eggshells to earn the love and acceptance of my dad. But he is just a man, a mere mortal, incapable of the perfect love of the Father. I thought by earning the love and acceptance of my dad that I would somehow feel more secure. What I discovered, however, was that the feeling was temporary because as soon as I did something he didn't like, the acceptance was removed and I felt insecure again. I believe that had I ever really gained true unconditional love and acceptance from my dad, I would have settled for that in my life. However, God wanted more for me and continued to draw me closer to him over the years. This wooing by God was completely irresistible to me. It came with no strings attached, no list of things to accomplish, just pure, unconditional love and acceptance. If I do something God doesn't like, which happens more than I wish, he doesn't withdraw his love for me. He patiently waits for me to respond to the conviction of the Holy Spirit and come to a place of repentance. And when I come back to him, it's as if nothing ever happened. There is no grudge being held or a reminder of my sin hanging over my head. There is only complete love and acceptance from my Heavenly Father. It is for these reasons that I have grown to be grateful for what has happened in my life. Without the devastation and rejection from my dad, my relationship with God would not be what it is today. This relationship is the foundation and basis for the love I share with others, and it's the driving force that keeps me moving forward in spreading the message God has given me to share with hurting people around the world. The devil does not want me to share this message with you or with anyone else. He has done everything he can to keep me quiet and to make me think that this message is not important. However, I stand on the promise given to us in Joshua 1:5, which says, "No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." The devil tries to use my fear of rejection on a continual basis in my life. Once I realize that he is not creative and he uses the same schemes and tactics that he has used since the foundation of the world, it was easier to recognize these attacks. No longer do I believe that my life is the result of a series of bad decisions and misguided information, but it was purposed by the Creator of the universe before the foundation of the world to ultimately bring glory to him and to be the catalyst from which others receive hope, healing, and unconditional love from their Heavenly Father. It is because of this reason that I find the strength to continue to move forward in sharing this message with a world filled with hopelessness so that others, after finding their hope, healing, and forgiveness through Christ, can bring even more glory to God. Luke 7:36 through 50 tells the story of Jesus being anointed by a sinful woman. There is a Pharisee named Simon who's observing this woman's outward expression of her love for Jesus, and he begins to doubt God and thinks to himself in verse 39, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." So Jesus tells Simon a story in verse 41 and 42 and says, "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon says to Jesus, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." Then Jesus said, "You have judged correctly." Then Jesus says to Simon about this woman in verses 44 to 47, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. "Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Wow, this story resonates with me on so many levels. You see, I have been the Pharisee who has looked on in judgment when I saw the outward expression of praise and worship from someone so in love with Jesus that they just can't seem to help themselves. It's similar to the involuntary joy and excitement seen as my husband watches the Dallas Cowboys score and win the game in the last 2 minutes of play. Now that I am passionately in love with Jesus and my Heavenly Father, I find it difficult to be in His presence without outwardly expressing those feelings of joy and excitement. Just like the woman anointing Jesus' feet, I have been forgiven of so much in my life that it makes me love Him that much more. For those who don't believe they need a lot of forgiveness, the Bible tells us that they love little. I am so grateful that God was willing to reach down so far to retrieve me from the deep pit of sin in which I found myself. It's this gratitude that motivates me to tell others of what God has done for me so that they can know that He wants to do the same thing for them in their lives. Jesus is no respecter of persons. No sin is too big for His forgiveness. He has already paid for our sin on the cross, but sometimes the shame of our past keeps us from fully repenting and being completely set free. Jesus bore our shame while He willingly gave His life for us, but it's our decision as to what we will do in response to such amazing love. I pray that you will find the peace, acceptance, and unconditional love that I have found, which only comes through an intimate, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He has a purpose for everything He allows or brings into our lives, and He can heal your hurt as He has mine, and use it to bless others. May your life be blessed and full of peace, and may you walk in the purposes for which you were created.
Well, it is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. With such a fantastic testimony that you've heard in the last 2 days, be renewed in your faith, knowing that the God of all grace is able to strengthen you wherever you're hurting, wherever you're weak, wherever you would have a temptation to become bitter. And know you can trust God with every detail of those situations today. And so until the next time, this is Greg Huffman asking the Lord to bless you in a fantastic way.